Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. This is hour 326 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Before we get started, I want to thank James from North Wales, Pennsylvania, for continually sending us $20 to host all the hours a month on the web. So thank you, James. We all appreciate you. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello, welcome back. I'd say welcome back from Korea, but you just told me you didn't go to Korea.
Yeah, I went to New York City instead. Didn't quite have room for me, so I went on the flight that did, which ended up in New York City. Visited the World Trade Center Memorial. There's one World Trade Center, the tall new tower. Went up there. Mm-hmm. Went twice to the memorial area, once during the day, once during the night. It was very, very interesting at night. Went over there to the foundations where the Twin Towers were, is now a memorial. Mm-hmm. And they have a weir with basically thousands of waterfalls coming off of the weir, and illuminated at night, so it looks pretty nice. But interestingly, I ended up at, I forgot what tower it was, but I ended up at the one that I noticed all the first responders, all the fire guys were being named, and they had the engine company, the ladder, and this group company, and it's quite, quite moving, because it's basically their graveyard. You didn't find those guys, just knew they were there, So it's the memorial is really a very special graveyard. I guess that's what you could call it.
But yeah, they told the police on the police radio to get out of the buildings, but the fire companies weren't connected to the police radio, and they didn't.
They were doing their job, basically ignoring the danger to their own life and gave their life. And I don't know why I ended up right there, and put my hands on all their names, and suddenly I said, "Wow, these guys are so special." Anyway, it's the loss of innocence again, you might say. And then they went up to a new tower. Quite a display. And what a view. Actually looked down on the Empire State Building.
Oh, you went all the way up to the top?
Yeah. You kind of looked down on it. It's a ways away.
Mm-hmm.
Looking down on so many tall buildings. And every single one of those tall buildings we're looking down on are taller than the buildings we have in Hawaii, because we have a...
Even in Honolulu.
Yeah, even in Honolulu, because they won't allow buildings above a certain height. And it's short compared to anything in New York. But that's supposed to be good. On Kauai, you can build a building taller than a coconut tree.
That's as high as you can go?
Yeah. So I think a coconut tree can get up to about 70, 80 feet tall.
Yeah, they're really... We had a few of them on our property, and not our property, but the property I lived on, and when I lived in Kailua, and when those coconuts started dropping, they could kill you if they hit you.
Oh, yes, definitely. No, they have killed people.
And then you have to hire somebody to go up there and cut them.
Yeah.
That was a big job, always.
Yeah.
But it was a sight for me to see on from the East Coast. And
yeah, especially when they were doing it the old way, which meant that they actually had somebody climb it. But that's been changed over to the bucket truck style.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was the old style when I was there.
Yeah.
We climbed up there with a machete. Chop, yep. Chop, chop, and everything started coming down, a bunch of branches. And
you ever been on the top of a coconut tree? It's pretty nice.
Never.
You get up there, and you have all the leaves, which are the fronds, the coconut fronds.
Uh-huh.
You kind of sit in there. So you harvest out some coconut after you do some bit. You know, that's you don't need to take up any water. You got a lot, if it's got coconuts, you got all the water you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just take your machete and chop a hole in the coconut, drink your coconut water. And there you go. Fresh coconut water.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could start off with Wendy from New Zealand. She writes on the 29th of September. Subject is perspective. Deeply loved and valued gents, she says. In weeks passing, your discussions around the current affairs in the U.S. has caused me to pause and consider that perhaps perspective needs revision. I value that much of the world affairs be a great concern to most people across the globe. Rest assured that the Most Highs rule in the kingdom of men, and their rule works for the greater good of the fathers toward light and life. I came across a celestial teaching that may bring peace and comfort for those whom have an ear to hear spirit perspective. If one's attention is focused upon what is wrong with the world, then indeed one's perspective will be distorted in the direction of that blackness. And so the world will appear to be largely a place of malevolence, discontent, despair, greed, anger, etc. It is clear that there is enough darkness occurring about this planet that if one were to solely focus upon it, the light within them would be darkened indeed. And then how great would that darkness be? But on the other hand, there is evidence of progress and hope, which is ignored by many of the commercial news media because of the false belief that it would be financially unprofitable. Because of this force on the negative, it takes effort and intention to discover where God is at work in human hearts and associations. Coming from the direction of spirit results in a different perspective than coming from the direction of self. Coming from the direction of self-centered ego, one sees the universe in revelation. I'm sorry, revolt, rev, revolt, re, I'm sorry, revulsion. Revulsion around oneself, boy. One sees other people as objects, as means to ends, and one sees world of scarcity, of competition, of conflict, and of despair. But come from the spirit, the direction of God, and the world is entirely different. One sees, instead of objects to be manipulated, brothers and sisters to be loved. One sees a world of overflowing abundance, of complete emotional and spiritual security, of a peace that drowns all conflict, and a love which smothers all hatred. Coming from the direction of the spirit, one happily allows oneself to orbit around the center, the very first source and center of the universe. comfortable and secure into the bounds of love, gravity, which draw you to that source. Signed, with loving greetings from New Zealand, signed Wendy. Thank you, Wendy.
Well, a lot of it is to do with perspectives, but the beginning of this year, kind of like, I remember kind of having this concept of a paradigm shift. This year, many paradigms will be shifting, and that means just whether they be political, governances of large companies, or corporations, or countries, smaller organizations seem to fall in that category somehow. And you mentioned the Most Highs, which can rule in the affairs of men or earth. And it goes into, you know, from the very large to the very small. It can touch our own personal lives also. So we take seriously the concern of the things that can change in the way we do things. And some people will have to make changes. And one of the famous sayings of Albert Einstein was, insanity can be defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And this is where the paradigm must shift, because the results apparently sometimes may not be very good, or can be pointing to kind of very bad things. And one of them is that the present move in some of our science and development of technology is being guided into things which are not good for the planet, not good for overall. One of them was the GMOs, the genetically modified organisms, which are toxic, can be made toxic. A friend of yours, Curtis, and a much more closely aligned relative of mine, has now have the same thing, which has to do with just food. They're dying because of, they have perforations in their gut, which is caused by the BT toxins in, you know, the developed BT toxins in corn. They put that in cotton. And that was allowed because of the power that's inside of these corporations, which has tremendous financial power. But the only thing to stop them is something sometimes which is even a greater financial power, or someone who is not controlled by that financial power. This is why this particular event, I remember thinking about this way before when I first started to analyze the science of messing with life's form. Being with the Verandadek, as well as the Danos, high order angelic beings who are truly material. They're not, you know, they're not ethereal, they're material. But just the material that they're made out of is like light or Marantia material, material that is different from, you know, Curtis, you often talk about the vibrations that make up our known physical environment, and what order there are in vibrations. And we have light that vibrates at a certain level of oscillation in materials that do. I mean, now we study it in our physics, of course, in terms of understanding what makes up reality. But when science starts to mess up with life, which is really a very sophisticated technology, this is one of the things that I began to understand, that life as we know it, procreative life, life that is able to make, you know, through a seed or whatever, have life continue. Life is a mechanism and a technology. But as soon as you start to defy it or try to control it in other ways, to manipulate it by our own ideas, we kind of can create something better, depending on something. Usually it's the idea is to create something better, more sophisticated for the betterment. A lot of times it becomes very bad. And some of them are irreversible. Now, all of these things are out there now, but some of them have gone haywire. The concept of haywire was the bales of hay were wound up with wire at one time. And if you ever unspooled haywire or just let it go, it's so hard to untangle when it just goes, the coils just unwind by themselves. And it becomes so hard to untangle this. So that's the concept of haywire. Much of this tangled mess that we are involved in can be untangled, but it requires someone or some people who want to untangle it and come in there with the tools to untangle it. And with wire, haywire, a lot of times it required a set of good gloves and cutting pliers that you could cut the wire and untangle useful sections of it. And in the sense that that is, you might say, kind of untangling. So this paradigm shift may be partly type of untangling of the mess that this world is in right now. And we see it tangled up even in our people's concept of the first source and center. Who is God? Is he the unnamed, the unspeakable name, which the Judaism has later been given a name, Yahweh or Jehovah. But then there another one would come and say Allah. Another one would say, it's all confused, it's all tangled. The untangling of that, to the extent that it can be, will be Allah. Also the tangling of it, because you don't know the interwoven character. So the three fundamental religious roots are in themselves tangled from a single source. But it is said, and from the wisdom of the ages and from scripture, said something very interesting, that the threefold cord, you ever play with rope? A lot of times, in fact most of the time, rope is in three sections or three cords that are wound together, and they're very hard to break. The threefold cord is hard to break because there is essentially a kind of weakness that what a single cord can have. But when you wind three together, they sort of distribute the tensions. It's not to say that they're unbreakable, but it would take one to break, then the next, and the next, and then finally have a full failure of the three cords. But when I looked at the three cords that are in the basic Abraham, from Abraham, or the Machaveta, Melchizedek origin, or you come with Judaism, you come out with Islam, you come out with Christianity, and then they're also absorbed into a more sophisticated bundle of newer faiths. But the untangling or the understanding of them requires a lot of times a different perspective. See them all working together and taking up the tension toward bringing in, you might say, truth and light and life into the planet. But the untangling is this year. This year there are many things that are going on that will help to untangle some of the confusion and the mess and a new paradigm, new way of doing things versus just, you know, pay and get your way. If you have enough money, continue to influence and render perhaps even controls ineffective. recently, airplane was delayed, and it was the flight attendant was joking and he says, "Yeah, we're delayed, you know, just because this little light, you know, came on, and we had to come back to there, to the terminal, and you know, get that light, turn that light off." But he said, "Ah, but I had some tape. I could have put that tape over that light, and nobody would see it." But that's the idea of what, in a very bigger sense, is being done by these multinational corporations, even rich people, are various sorts, trying to manipulate or to render these warning lights useless. And they use various tools to manipulate them. One of them, the biggest one, of course, is finance and money. So, to bring order back out of this, what's supposed to have been put together for good control, requires somebody that says, "I know how to take the covering off, take that tape off that warning light, and now we can see beep, 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 warning, 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 danger, danger." It was being covered up all the time. And then you can see these things. And this brings what you call light in life. Light is a concept of being, the dark room being illuminated by light and start to see. What you need, and you know, what you need to see, what you need to make observations, as well as the dangers. There are also so many other things that light does, but it brings forth, you know, the concept of truly being able to make good judgment in decisions that need to be made, as well as just being living a decent life. Yet the blind seem to be able to render, but their illumination is different in terms of how they see. But those who can see normally, they appreciate light a lot. That being blinded for the warning is, you know, taking those blindfolds off. I know how I could make you not see what is obvious. They put a different kind of blinder on you. These are psychological things. To take your attention, the magician who takes your attention away from what they don't want you to see, to see something that they want you to see while they do their magic on the side. And these are the kinds of techniques that are being used right now. The paradigm for light in life must shift away from those paradigms of deception and manipulation that has been going on right now. And as I see what's happened with things like the Brexit, the British exiting the European Common Market, the European Union, which was a type of manufactured concept of economic control that was totally falling apart right now. So the paradigm was no good. It has to shift. And apparently, from what the initial results showing out of England, is that they're doing much better. This is something that has to happen. As far as the United States perspective, as the United States, at one time it was that if the United States ever sneezed, then the world would catch cold. what has happened to the United States is it is dying, and the whole world, believe it or not, is dying because of that. So it's got to turn around, because the United States is an experiment, a true evolutionary experiment in governance. And we've got to allow it to continue its evolution. And interestingly enough, the Celestials, they use people. They call them part of what they, the mortal core of destiny, real living human beings. And you wonder, what are these real living human beings all about? If they're chosen by our celestial friends for something to orient destiny, the human destiny, what kind of people are they? And you'd be surprised how many of those people, once you begin to know them, you can say they're just ordinary human beings of imperfect things. You can point out one imperfection after another if you wanted to look at that. But if you did not see the purpose for the destiny, for being part of the mortal core of destiny, you would miss the whole message and not be influenced by what their purpose is. Some of them will bring great technology, others bring change, others just simply have one little thing that they had to do, which may have been to a few words. Others have a much greater job. But they're mostly common to all of them is that they're mostly running around without any knowledge that they have been trained for that particular job that they have to do as a human being on this planet. And the mortal core of destiny, of course, is not only functions only on planet Earth or Urantia, but in other planets where mortals are. But in our planet, which is basically challenged by a really open range of concepts and thoughts, some true and some ending up in disaster, is really an area where evolution can take place. And the evolution of coming to a more perfect, more complete, higher destiny, and able to apply itself in more challenging environments. And this is where I see this year having to do with the changes necessary, and they must take place. Initially, things like the Brexit was particularly predicted to not ever happen. Britain would be impossible for it, from what was said would happen. There would be no way that Britain would ever exit, because even all the polls showed that it was strongly against it. Turned out when it finally came through, the vote came through, it was shown it was clear to exit the European Union. I believe that in order for this to take place, it is always a choice. And it was a choice for me to be a part of this program, to contribute and to help. And that is what I'm doing right now, anyway. So anyway, that's a little bit of a concept of moving in the direction toward enlightenment in a fuller sense, or to bring about the evolutionary changes necessary to allow for at least coming to a better planetary way, a newer paradigm.
Well, Paul J.S. sends a link on YouTube. Subject is, what do you guys make of this? And it's question 913, large object near Saturn. That's on the listen page. There's a link to that. And it's a little video. Interesting. It's just another piece of this subject, what is out there near Saturn. And then Wendy from New Zealand, she writes again on the 12th of October. Melchizedek. And she says, Jens, you might enjoy Melchizedek's perspective on the democratic process and political parties. And she has a link that will take you many places. It's quite a whole list of things in there. And that's also on the listen page. This democratic process we're going through is really, well, we'll get into that in the next couple emails, but Jim from North Wales, Pennsylvania, he writes, subject is Elon Musk and Mars. Curtis, in your latest show with Michael, you wondered why Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk, he owns Tesla Motors, making those wonderful electric cars, and he also has SpaceX. But he says, you wonder why Elon Musk wants to go to Mars. According to Nancy Leader, he and the other elites want to go there to ride out the upcoming pole shift, which will kill about 90% of the Earth's population. The Zetas / Biavians will not allow anyone to escape, thus they will sabotage any space flight that has that as a goal. Well, it seems like every space flight has that as a goal in a way, except for low orbit things. Regarding the latest explosion while fueling on the launch pad, here's an explanation for that. And a Zeta Talk link, and then followed by, this latest disaster on a SpaceX launch was a financial and progress blow to several elites. Elon Musk of SpaceX, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Israel Aerospace Industries, and NASA, that the explosion happened early in the process during a pre-launch test shows that a strong message is being given. Previous messages to Musk involved his intent to help the elite escape Earth prior to the pole shift while participating in the cover-up over Nibiru. While the elite relented, allowing the multi-prog announcement about Nibiru to proceed, Musk was allowed to succeed with an ocean platform landing. The explosion thus was not aimed at Musk or his company. NASA was simply leasing its launch pad and was not the target either. Facebook is immensely popular and international, and Zuckerberg had announced almost a year ago that he intended to promote his internet.org via satellite and drones to provide service to parts of the world with scarce access to the internet. Africa is clearly a key target. It should be no surprise that Africa is also a key target of many elite who anticipate the high ground of Africa and its future temperate climates to be ideal for settlements and survival. Europe and India will migrate to Africa in droves prior to the pole shift. In this last paragraph, where satellites will be torn from the skies during the passage prior to the pole shift itself, they will function to some degree. Thus, those who have migrated to Africa and set up settlements and formulated defense of their perimeter will be accessing the internet via one of Zuckerberg's satellites. As the satellites fail, those will be replaced with the Zuckerberg drones already in operation. All communications in the vast region of Africa will be known to Zuckerberg and his elite allies, who obviously include Israel. The information would be used to enslavement and control, and it is this effort that the Council of Worlds will not allow. Take care, Jim. And then a few minutes later, he wrote this. He says, Curtis, I forgot to add this to my previous email, but Elon Musk's plans to go to Mars. And with a link, another ZetaTalk.com link. This is a money-making endeavor by Elon Musk. The dates are all set out far enough in the future that he will not be challenged to deliver any but slowly demonstrations on the Earth's surface. Meanwhile, as the Earth changes, progress, scaring the wealthy class, he will collect their funds. This will allow Musk and his cohorts to arrange a kingdom on Earth, secure, well-stocked, and very high-tech. This is hecksterism at its finest, a complete con job. He knows from the smackdown that the Council of Worlds has given him that he cannot set up on Mars, the latest, the dramatic explosions of the Facebook satellite launch. Another fella sent me this who doesn't really listen to Michael, fella I know, sent me this just about the same thing on Zeta Talk. But according to this, it sounds like Musk wants to just build a safe haven somewhere in Africa. So there's that, Michael.
Yeah, well, as I said much earlier, we're looking at the concept of a pole shift, 90%, and not only a human life, but just life in general, being obliterated, coming to near extinction level. Well, the planet has gone through this extinction level event a few times. Recorded in our, Earth geologic layers. Analysis gives us periodic cycles of such things. But it all goes back to the fundamentals of the purpose of life. And the purpose of life is to come to a point of sentience, being able to be driven or to be given the you might say, draw for the gravity to find truth, to find the first source and center. And this, as I said, was the real inspiration in realizing, having been with the Celestials, having been with them, moved with them, as more than material beings as we are, both at the Marantia level and the full spiritual level, and realizing that life itself is a device, a technology, a developmental technology. The purpose of life is to create souls, individuals, with the ability to navigate the universe. In other words, the universe cannot be navigated like with Elon Musk technology of, just the idea of our space technology right now. It must graduate far beyond that to a true spiritual sense. Interdimensional operational speeds beyond the concept of speed of light. these things are all part and in a sense our destiny far beyond our life on earth. So I can see if over time an allowable pole shift and its devastation would be allowed for the, you might call it the reset of life direction, because all prior lives on planet Earth, their extinction level events were to reset the destiny of life to produce us as in a sense of character, our human nature, one that is high enough to be able to house the divinity fragment, the divinity fractal. Without ascending to that height, you're nothing more than the mechanism of life, a higher mechanism of life. One of the most interesting things about our level of being is that we have a brain which is capable of receiving tremendous amounts of information. Information that comes through spiritual lanes. And these spiritual lanes are able to interface with us once we tune them in. And if we don't tune them in, and if our planet becomes totally untuned to these, you might say, divine voices, the destiny and the purpose of human life has been essentially negated. Why have them for? They're not going to make it. They're not going to be able to travel. They're not going to be the people essentially made of the base material of the universe, stardust, able to be constructed out of that, and yet to be able to be essentially taken from that fabric and given a eternal destiny in the stars. This is a short way of saying it, but having been with them in the New Jerusalem and seeing the fact that we are moving, they are moving, you know, various peoples toward that destiny, and having some technologies which allow them a certain amount of movement within, you might say, intergalactic, present galactic movement, but not necessarily intergalactic movement. As it becomes that way, the highest destiny would be of those that are in control of, you might say, the intergalactic, which is not able to be traversed by mortal character, you know. A mortal being can make certain voyages, and if using some of their technologies, are able to try to move great distances as a mortal being. But ultimately, that is not the destiny. The destiny is much higher than that. It's to become able to traverse the entire universe, but mostly to propagate into the uninhabited domains of the universe, yet growing, the new parts of the universe. We are part of, we might say, a way out on the left field, you might say, of the known inhabited universe. We're part of essentially a kind of a frontier land, and from us is supposed to be developed the pioneering kind of being, able to continue its propagating of its destiny into maybe more challenging domains within the newer and younger universe continuing on. So this is all part of our destiny. But if we lose the destiny of this perspective of this destiny, and if we only care about preserving the human life vehicle. It may not necessarily be the salvageable part of the human race. And it may be only a very small salvageable part of the human race that can be retrieved. And because of that, an allowable extinction level event may come to pass. But if it is found that the Earth, in its sense, is filled with people whose higher destiny is built within them already, and their understanding to go beyond the human base level of existence into a much higher level of reality, and it is that domain and destiny that is desired. And people make certain choices in their life to obtain them, then we find a greater number of salvageables on the planet. As a result, the extinction level event will not happen. It will be prevented. In other words, the planet will be allowed to continue toward maturity in the time of light and life, toward light and life, in which greater and greater exposure to truth will begin to happen. But if we do make the choice, and it is seen that the planet is not filled with salvageables, people who are only concerned about their own neck, then essentially they're nothing more than smart animals, and slaughter will be allowed. Simple as that. Because the purpose of life is not going to be fulfilled. As the Varundadek told me, the Most High, the purpose of life and all life is to become as I am, a being of light, eternal in destiny, never to die, always to live, shedding light and bringing forth illumination into all, that destiny be fulfilled with all who hear his voice, all who understand that higher destiny. But many times we just are concerned paying our basic needs, whatever it be, financial needs or other needs, and all we care about is the preservation of the human structure. And we're doing a pretty good job, you know, in the sense that our technologies are there, which frees us from the worry and should allow us to contemplate the higher destiny and make ourselves more attuned to the divine channels of information that are there and are desiring to come into bringing greater enlightenment into the planet so that it can be preserved toward its greater goal. In other words, there is a point, you know, like the concept of Noah's Ark, and there's like so many people that were worthy. Why? Because the rest weren't. Apparently, just that idea or that concept is there. The others were not. They had a lot of chance to tune into the idea, but they didn't listen. So that's because of the concept of the cares of the world, the cares of the needs of the human base, the animal need. I have a little pet cat that all that cat knows is to meow because I'm hungry. And that's all it knows. Just, that's what I need to get. Just, and that base living drive is there. But there's nothing higher than that. It's just an animal. We cannot be just an animal. We need to essentially sprout up out of this seed or shell and allow them to fall away, die to our original form, and then to start to sprout the new, you might call them leaves. You know, like how a leaf is able to do photosynthesis and start to generate the necessary energy for the plant to get life from the sun. These channels of energy of life are actually flowing and are operable in our lives if we sprout the leaves necessary to do that exchange. And they are spiritual in concept, spiritual in reality, and actually are channels of what will allow for the falling away of the physical into the first semi-physical or Marantia state of material unto the full spiritual. All of that being fed through the channels of life energy. We borrow life energy from our food supply, but there is another kind of food that we need to become capable of absorbing, and it is real, and it can be shared one with another. And this is something that I not only learned of, I experience every day, and I can share. And that really does work. And it's an imagined. It's not an imagined thing. It is a miraculous reality that is another dimension of our being above the animal. So hopefully our planet is engaged, as able to, you might say, absorb the tension of this higher reality through perhaps some of our religious concepts that have been shared on our planet, but also, more importantly, with our willingness to absorb higher knowledge and understanding through the channels of the divine, which are already built in us. And because they're already built in us, all we've got to do is not only keep them turned on, but allow us to tune in, to play with it. I remember getting a little transistor radio, and it was kind of neat because it was at that time when a lot of the radios too had vacuum tubes, so this became a little compact device. And because of that, I could play with tuning it around in any which way and finding the best place for reception. In a sense, it was a time when I could tune it in, but it required me to tinker with. And our thought adjuster, our divine fractal, is much like that. Got to take the time out to start to tune it in, and then tune in the divine, and by so doing we'll receive, and as many are receiving higher voices, such as that being channeled by various individuals who can actually say they channel the conscious reality of a voice from a Makaventa Melchizedek or a higher order being, and they come through with the wisdom that sometimes needs to be shared. And it is something that is developed. And much like we can develop many different things, we can marvel at people developing techniques to play in a violin or a piano, or to do an athletic gymnastic event, or to become a great athlete, or to become an artist, or whatever. These are extensions of our, you might say, natural higher abilities in our mind. But there is even more than that. It goes outside of those areas where we become able to channel in celestial consciousness and the higher brotherhood of the divine order of celestials, and become a part, you might say, of the family of God, the divine. And this is where it all boils down to, is this planet going to face this terrible bullshit because it's been judged as no longer being necessary for that, because it's not fulfilling the higher destiny. And a whole other one has to be developed, a whole other group. Well, I don't believe that is the case just yet. There's things that have to go on. The paradigm will be allowed to, given the openness to shift, but it is the choice that needs to be made toward this paradigm shift.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. And it'd be surprising, because the paradigm shift is being, you might say, broadcasted. Mm-hmm. The change necessary. Those that hear that voice understand, oh, yeah, we need to change. We can't stay the same. Mm-hmm. You know, again, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, if our political process is being doing the same thing over and over again and we still get bad results, we got to do something about it. So change it. Change the paradigm. I remember being in Prague, you know, in Europe. Prague?
Yes.
Yeah. Prague.
Yugoslavia? They say Praha.
Prague. Yeah, well, it used to be.
It used to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like separated. So we have Praha, and on there there's this metrodome, a giant metrodome. You know, you remember the old metrodomes would tick-tock to keep time for musicians?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What,
tick, I've had one.
Or whatever timing was, but tick-tick-tick-tick, you adjust it. And you know, okay, the time, okay, it's for time, it's a certain time. Well, they have the old-fashioned metrodome had a weight that was, you put a different lengths out from its fulcrum.
Yeah, yeah. The further out, the slower it would go.
Slower it went, right. Mm-hmm. And they have a sculpture on the, way up on a hill. An artist put it up there, and it's a sculpture of a giant metronome ticking the timing of the planet. And the philosophy behind this metronome, because it's something like 50 feet high, a metronome 50 feet high, and it's painted red. And you can see the metronome swinging slowly to one side and then swinging to the other. The philosophy that was behind this was governance, because they were communists and then they're free, and then they're at when, you know, longer ago they were governed by royalists, you know, like a king and a queen, and you know. So they'd see government changing from one side, go to one side, and finally it has to change direction and go the opposite direction, because it's gone as far as it's going to go, and it's got to go back, change. And their philosophy was that every time the metronome swung, things got a little bit better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better. So the metronome swings continually, tick, ta, tick, ta. And that metronome's purpose ultimately was that every time it swung through its arc, things would be getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. It's a beautiful city too. It's an old city. It's got the largest fortress in the world. There, it's protecting a big church, but church building. It's interesting visiting that, going all over the world. Mm. Yeah, seeing that. But my last visit was to the 9/11 memorial, and realizing I just began with tears well up in my eyes as I was at the 9/11 memorial, and I realized that my hands were on the names of all these firefighters and why I was led to just see them all their names. The engine companies were numbered, this number, that number, this group and that group, all part of the firefighters. The human, is it worthwhile that human beings give their life for another? Is that a good character? I think so.
They were doing their job.
Is it more than it's just a job?
Well, some of them didn't know if they were going to come out of there alive.
All they know is that they were doing it the best they knew how, and that's what their life's purpose was about.
Mm-hmm. I've got to read this next one from Chris from Liverpool. The subject is the upcoming election, because you're talking about the World Trade Center, and you, Michael, know, well, I discuss things with you without recording, but anyway. Hello, Curtis, Michael, and the listeners. We're only about 3 weeks away from the most important election in my lifetime, and possibly ever. It's clear to me that the people overwhelmingly want Trump to be the next president. However, the establishment is doing everything it can to steal this election from us. I just saw a report that there are about 20 million fraudulently registered voters. About 2 million of those are dead people. My question is, if the will of the people is ignored, will the celestials intervene? I ask this because we are on the verge of World War III. And we are so close to World War III. I mean, it seems like the people around me don't even have a clue. But this election, I was just saying to Michael before we started, Trump has thousands of people come to his rallies, and many of the thousands can't even get in. Where Hillary, if she has a rally at all, which she doesn't, it'll be at some carnival or fairgrounds where there's already people there, and they bust people in to try and make more people. But I hope they don't steal it from us, Chris, because this is so important. And I do wonder if the Celestials will intervene. And I just wanted to say that on the Drudge Report today, well, it was on there yesterday also, Jim O'Keefe, he is on Alex Jones once in a while, and he's an independent fellow, and he has, he says, Dems incite violence at Trump rallies. And, yeah, they block the roads. They're given $1,500 and a cell phone to cause trouble. And these people stop at nothing with their dirty tricks. But people should look at that link. They should also read the Drudge Report. This is Matt Drudge. He's been doing it for a number of years, and I saw when there were just a few million people looking at it, and now there's over 40 million people looking at this report every 24 hours. But Michael, what do the Celestials think about intervening, about giving the people what they really want instead of what the special interests want?
You'd be surprised at their perspective. It may not always agree with what we think is the right thing to do, especially when it comes down to war. We thought that we would think that all wars were bad and that the Celestials never wanted. But actually, there are times in which things as desperate and bad as war, or as crazy as what we have today in terms of Islamic fundamental, radical Islamic terrorism, would be like totally absurd to them. It's a tool. Human makes mistakes. But ultimately, you got to reflect on what is right and wrong. If you look at some of the things that go on in terms of people trying to keep control of their power, others trying to, you know, raise havoc, it comes down to trying to preserve what they want to keep going as good for them. And this is where, you know, the higher destiny consciousness can only come in when people, you might say, become of a higher nature. If they remain in their base nature, then these things make all the sense. Raise havoc, keep things there. Take the bucks to go raise havoc, $1,500. Oh, I gotta do this to go over there and, you know, make a scene. And, well, you know, these things just keep going on because those who have the tools, and one of their biggest tools is to try to hold on to their, you might say, their source of funds, source of wealth, and then they use what they have, you know. All of that has flowed into the hands of only a very few, and they're using it. But we who are the majority, essentially there is a promise in Scripture which was basically told to the disciples from Christ, and he said, you know, blessed are the meek, or happy are the meek, or the humble, because they will inherit the earth. The earth is, ultimate destiny is not to be inherited by the elite, but by the meek, by the humble, by those who trust in the divine and the celestial, who allow themselves to be used to fulfill the will of the divine. And this is where we come in too, is that since we are given, you might say, the mind of God through the divine fractal, we essentially are also tools of that. And if we are manipulated by funds, by money, then we are not essentially working for the divine. But if we are manipulated by simply allowing ourselves to fulfill our will, which would be the will of the divine, the will of God, and our own human will merged together as one, we begin to fulfill a much higher destiny for planetary consciousness. And this is the ultimacy of truth. Because when you are with the celestials, you realize that they are of quite noble character. And they understand where we are as far as trying to get to this understanding of fulfilling our will and the divine will at the same time in harmony. You cannot fulfill the divine will and our will if they're contradicting each other. You have terrible, uncomfortable, you know, very big uncomfortable nature about it. You must, if you want your way and you don't want that uncomfortable, you must put that, what makes you uncomfortable, away. This is the terrible thing that we have in terms of our will. We can literally quench or turn off the divine voice. Once we do that, we become liars. Lying to ourselves makes a journey to the field of lies essentially wide open, and we become nothing more than shadows, not real, having no destiny. And then it becomes a big, our lives become one big lie. And this is what we're battling against, because there are those who have essentially turned off the voice of the divine in them, because their the way that they want to operate is so against the divine voice that they cannot function until one or the other is shut down. And sometimes it can result in kind of some crazy things going on to some people. Anyway, that's a little bit of the idea.
Yeah, well, they'll do anything to win the White House and take control. When I read Chris's question about this upcoming election, and when I heard that Tim Kaine, who is the pick for Hillary Clinton, he was raised by the Jesuits. And when I heard him say that, I was like speechless the rest of the night. It just, because the
Tim Kaine thinks that, I mean, it's a wonderful thing in his mind and in his service with the Jesuits. And they're the elite, you might say, of the Catholic Church. But an amazing thing about the Jesuits are they're not really religious. They have a governance type agenda. They're more in terms of how to govern, using religion as part of their tool, box of their tools, you know. So it's been that way from the time when the Jesuits were formed. And they were the most, at one time, they were the most highly educated. And they're the ones who are, you might say, sometimes scientists. Whether they be political scientists or whatever scientists, they're still kind of like that.
Well, I'm going to read two sentences from the second paragraph in this chapter of The Sinking of the Titanic. And the greatest tragedies in the last 200 years can be traced to the Jesuits. We will now show that the Jesuits planned and carried out the sinking of the Titanic, and we will show why they did it. I put this on the listen page. I may have spoken about this before, but there's a link to this chapter. It'll only take you 10 minutes to read the whole chapter. I suggest everyone read this to see, because Hillary Clinton, she is not well, and I think the Jesuits have Tim Kaine in there to take over, which frightens the heck out of me. And I certainly hope that they don't steal this election from the people who want Donald Trump. I mean, it looks like the majority of the people do, just by the crowds that show up. A side note, I read this. Jesse Ventura, he was the governor of Minnesota and a wrestler. And anyway, he ran for governor of Minnesota, and he won. But he only did it on $300,000, but he had this bus and he drove, or a motorhome or whatever it was, and he was driving between events. And well, he was getting to this last event of the day so late, they were arriving at 23:30, which is 11:30 at night. And they just thought, well, everyone probably went home. And when they saw the huge crowd that was still there waiting for him, his wife turned to him and said, "Jesse, you're going to win." So I sure hope Donald Trump wins, because the majority of the people want him, but the Jesuits don't. They want to keep control and take this country down even further. According to what Donald Trump said, 70,000 manufacturing companies have left the United States and gone to other countries since that NAFTA went into effect that was signed by the Clintons. 70,000. That's 1,000 manufacturers for every state.
Well, for my little island of Maui.
Little island of Maui.
This is the last year we're going to grow sugar.
Oh.
It's gone to South America and various other places. And through free trade. So,
putting a lot of people out of work,
yeah,
and out of their livelihood, I mean, that's how they pay for everything, their livelihood.
Yeah, at one time sugar, I mean, there's a lot of negative things about sugar, but sugar was an important food energy that was able to, you know, be shipped in old-fashioned
ways. It's natural.
Yeah, old-fashioned ways. It had shelf life and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some of the pastry guys made it into poisons, delectable poisons, but it could have been used in other ways. And it is, but now there's another terrible poison that is on the market called high fructose corn syrup, which is a true poison, causing a lot of diabetics and terrible diseases. But anyway, that's my perspective on that, seeing that NAFTA has taken our pineapple industry away and our sugar is gone now. Last year, completely eradicated through the concept of NAFTA.
Yeah,
at one time we had sugar price adjustments and for trade that kept our industry alive, but those have all been destroyed by NAFTA.
Well, we're 3 weeks away from this election. And rightsidebroadcasting.tv has, that's RSBN.tv, has Donald Trump on. He's speaking in two places. I think he's speaking in two places in Colorado, Colorado Springs, and I don't recall the other place. But and tomorrow is the last debate. And he wants to have a drug test for Hillary because something's pumping her up. Woman gets around in wheelchairs. They have a bed in her van. The whole thing is just, and the Jesuits raised Tim Kaine. And who got Tim Kaine in there? I'm sure that wasn't a selection she picked out. Well, it's the future of our country and the world that seems to follow this country quite a bit. And we're closer now. Like Chris said, we are closer now to World War III than we've ever been.
Yeah. Well, one of the things was that Bill Clinton was a heavy cocaine user. Yeah. So it's
so
well
is,
known.
So is Obama.
He was when
he was in Punahou in Honolulu.
Yeah. But there's a tremendous amount of proof on a long-standing drug use with cocaine with Bill Clinton. And
with Obama.
Well, the very similar things to keep people up and excited is things like that. And you might say that he's, you know, got that thing going on with Hillary, too. Who knows?
I see. Okay, well,
it's a very simple, different form of, you know, you use it in legitimate injectables.
Mm-hmm. Well, no one should be above the law. And that woman lied to the FBI. She lied to Congress. Congress gave her a congressional order. And the next day she destroyed 33,000 emails. She had them acid washed. And then she smashed her phones, her 13 cell phones or whatever, with a hammer. The woman broke the law, and what's that woman's name who I just said it before we started. She does interior decorating. She broke the law, and she went to jail for, what was it, a year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope for the best. I hope They can't win it even if they steal and even try to steal it. North Carolina, you can't buy beer or cigarettes without an ID, but you can go vote without an ID. And some of those people have passed away, and they've been voting. This one fellow said, I went to vote, and the woman said, you already voted. And he says, no, I didn't. And he says, yeah, you and your mother voted. And he says, my mother passed away years ago. Well, listen to what O'Keefe has on the drudgereport.com about the violence at Trump rallies that they're paying to cause all this trouble. They'll do anything to rig the system. Well, the Celestials, we could use your help on this one. So, Michael, we should close, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay. Aloha.
All right. Aloha, Michael.